You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The name Alice Deering will forever go down in the Team GB history books. She isn't going to be the last, but she'll always be the first. The first black woman to swim for Britain at an Olympic Games. Alice also co-founded the Black Swimming Association with the aim of diversifying the sport she loves, while encouraging everyone to learn a basic life skill.
Now, after 19 years, aged 27, she's definitely not retiring, but just stepping away from the day-to-day life of a competitive swimmer. And it comes as UK Sport, the UK Sports Institute and British Elite Athletes Association are teaming up to increase their engagement with Britain's Olympic and Paralympic athletes to help them prepare for their life beyond a funded programme. I'm John.
And I'm Michael. And this is an Anything But Footy special with Alice Deering, in her own words.
Thank you for having me, firstly, but I am announcing that I am finishing, done, moving on from competitive swimming. I've been in competitive swimming, elite swimming, since I was 8 years old. I'm just trying to do the maths real quickly, I really should know it, but it's about 19 years that I've spent being a swimmer, being an elite athlete, 10 years on the British senior international teams. And yeah, just on the eve of my 27th birthday, I'm finishing with competitive swimming.
What has brought you to this point then today?
Truthfully, I failed to qualify for the Paris Olympic Games. That was my aim and my intention moving into 2024. I got to the qualification race in December, having had some of the best training in my life. I was really happy. I was really enjoying the sport. I felt like everything was on my side. I'd taken a little bit of time out in 2022 because I absolutely hated swimming, wasn't enjoying it. Got back in, actually had to have an operation in February of 2023, which set me back another month out of the water. So moving into summer and autumn in 2023, I was really like pushing myself and working through training and just having a great time, to be honest. And yeah, I got into the race December 2023 and it just fell apart, to be honest. And that's the brutal reality of sport. All of the time I've tried to qualify for senior international teams, for the marathon team, it has gone my way. I have qualified for Worlds, for Europeans, for the Olympics. And sadly, on this day, it didn't go my way. And it was quite emotional, where I actually got out of the race. It's the only race that I've ever not finished. And I got out just because I knew it wouldn't happen. And I knew I was in a terrible position and I knew it was my last race. And I felt like taking it into my own hands rather than just leaving it to the scoreboard at the end that would tell me that I placed much lower than I wanted to and expected from my swimming capabilities. So I got out of the race. I went and called my mum, my fiance, my coach, my best friend at swimming, and they'd all watched the race and they were all just like, okay, you know, things happen, that's life. And I guess it's just time to move on. And I knew that in my heart that once I'd like literally got out of the water, I was like, okay, I'm done. That was the first thing I said, that I was done. And I'm a bit emotional about it still, I suppose. You know, it's something that I really wanted to qualify for Paris and compete there because I just wanted to do better than what I did in Tokyo. I was really quite disappointed with my Tokyo performance, and I felt like I had more to give. But as sport goes, and as Olympic sport goes, you know, you get one opportunity every 4 years, or in this case, 3 years. And it just wasn't for me. And that's absolutely fine. That's how things go sometimes. So I've moved on with my life. I've taken these last 4 months to reflect and to start build on, or to start building on all of the foundations which I've already laid. So I've really been enjoying it, actually. And I'm also excited for the Olympics as well, because like getting to see Team GB compete again and seeing some of my friends who I know have been trying to qualify for the Olympics for quite a few years finally get their opportunity. So it ended in heartbreak, but that's just how sport goes sometimes. And I say, I think I'm in a very happy and healthy place because of it, and really believing that everything happens for a reason.
For the listeners, I can tell that Alice is upset, but she does also have a smile on her face.
Yeah.
So she is still smiling about the decision. You talked about your 19-year career, Alice. Mm. Was this the toughest decision of that career?
No, I think it was actually the easiest, ironically. For me, it was really Paris or nothing, and it just so happens to be nothing. And I say nothing in a very like jokey term, because I'm not trying to dismiss anything that I've achieved in my career. I've achieved far more than what I ever expected or anticipated to do so. So I'm just saying, if you're sat there feeling sorry for me, please don't feel sorry for me. I don't feel sorry for myself. I'm emotional about it, but I do not feel sorry for myself. Getting to be an Olympian and competing for my country and being able to take swimming into a career is something that I never, ever anticipated would happen to me. So it was one of those things. I was just being greedy, to be honest. I wanted to improve on my performance from Tokyo and just have a little bit more time in the sport. But no, that's just, for me, that was the end of it. And I guess the hardest decision that I faced in my career was like actually getting back in the water in 2022, when I initially took that time off and that break away from swimming. I was really enjoying my life. I'm not gonna lie. I was really enjoying my life. I had found other things to move into. I had moved in with my then boyfriend, now fiance, and having to move back out from away from him, moving back into Loughborough and going through the process of learning to be an athlete again. And I only took 5 months off. I'm talking like it was a good few years. I only took 5 months off, but how drastically and quickly things can change is surprising. So I think that was ironically the hardest decision. Deciding to finish, I knew the morning of that race that if I didn't qualify, things would still be okay. I knew that that would be it, and it still hurt. It's like, even though you can prepare for failure, it's still gonna sting. But you move on from it and you build from it.
We will talk about the future in a moment, and I apologize. Because normally it's Michael who makes people cry, and it seems like my question has done that. But but you talked about the achievements in your career, and it is quite a lot of achievements. The first Black woman to swim for Team GB, you will always be in the history books.
Yeah. And big shout out to Eva Acario. She's just qualified for Team GB. She's doing, she qualified, I guess, in the relay in the 100 free. She's only 17 or 18. She's really young. Another Black swimmer like coming through. And it's amazing the opportunities which I hope we can both show our communities can have. And it's really meant a lot to me to be able to represent on two fronts of being Black and British and being an Olympian and a swimmer. And clearly those two things can, or those four things can all marry together and hopefully create some magic.
And you seem to wear that moment of history quite lightly. We spoke a couple of times in the build up and it was a huge thing. And yet you just seem to take it and run with it. And you were happy to talk about it. We know that you've co-founded the Black Swimming Association as well. So we know it was a thing that was hugely important to you, but you didn't seem to let it dominate your build-up to the race.
Thank you. Yeah, I have had people comment the way in which I take success is very like chilled and blasé and just like, yeah, we're just moving, we're going with it, you know. It's a way of, I suppose, keeping myself grounded, because there's still so much work that myself and the Black Swimming Association really want to achieve. There's a lot of people out there who still don't believe swimming is for them, and we have a lot of minds to change. And whilst we are starting to have representation on the elite level, swimming an Olympic sport doesn't get the limelight in which it can really help thrive and foster change in the areas and communities which we need to. So it's something that I'm super proud of and want to kind of shout about as much as possible. So whenever I get opportunities, I'm like, yeah, go swim. Like, swimming's for everyone. It's amazing. But it's that some kind of like somber reflection of the fact like we still got work to do. Like, we can't get carried away. Like, we're doing really well, but we have a lot more that we want to change.
Not many people have the opportunity to represent their country. Not many people, even less people, have the opportunity to represent their country at an Olympic Games. What, looking back, does it mean to you now?
Oh, massive. I don't want to cry. No, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. Watching, like, 2008 was the first Olympics I remember watching, and I was 12 years old at the time. Or, 11 years old at the time. So, like, fairly old to be, like, really, like, engrossed in Olympic Games. But watching Becky Adlington and Joe Jackson in the 400 free, it was a special moment that has kind of, like, been ingrained into my mind. And that picture of them looking at each other over the lane rope when they've just, like, got their respective medals. And so watching that as a child and then being able to have those moments and those opportunities as an adult, and looking back on it and just thinking that those moments have been able to happen for me, is really special and really powerful. So whilst it's gone by in the blink of an eye, it's felt like the longest journey at some times, which I suppose it's the longest thing that I've stuck at in my life so far. But I think moving into the future, it's set up the foundations of who I am as a person. And that is something that I'm really proud of. I've been proud to call myself a swimmer, an athlete, an Olympian. And they're all things which have shaped me into the person I am. And I hope continue to carry through with who I am, when I'm old and grey. Yeah.
Well, we thank you for what you've done for Team GB and for the Black Swimming Association. And we wish you all the best, of course, in your future career. Can't wait to see what that brings. On to that, how do you start preparing for the process of stepping away? You're not retiring. Let's be really clear. You're not really. You're far too young to retire. How do you start the process of stepping away?
For me, I think the process started when I kind of picked my university degree, to be honest. I was already in that mindscape of, I don't think I want to be in sport forever. You know, I know I'm always going to have swimming. I could probably go into coaching or PT or something, but I don't think I want to be in sport. So I picked my university degree in politics to make sure that when I finish swimming someday, that I have something that I'm actually interested in and not just like going with the flow because it's the easy option at the time. And then I went on to do a master's in social media and political communication. So I like to think I have a very good backup options for when the career paths that I have managed to make the foundations for from my swimming career, if they don't work out, you know, I think I'm like fairly well educated to be able to move into like a decent job, hopefully, and do something which I enjoy. However, around that, the support that I've had from UK Sport and the BEAA have been very crucial and important into being able to be an elite athlete and also just have in my mind, okay, well, there's other things I want to do. Like, for example, there is the Personal Development Award, which is kind of like a pot of money which is given out to athletes for training, courses and development for anything that they want to kind of look into alongside their swimming career. And this isn't even part of the initial like financial funding that you get. This is just like a separate, like, here's a little bit of money to help you further something outside of your sport. Initially, I was actually, at some point I was taken off of UK sport funding, and the support I had around that afterwards was like actually really good. I'm happy to say, you know, I had psychological help because it was like quite a big blow to me. I had a lifestyle mentor who was able to, you know, make sure I was doing okay. You know, I still wasn't sure at this point if I wanted to swim. This was way back in 2017, and he was helping me through these options as well. So I'd say I've been supported very well. I suppose the one thing that I would say is, like, you know, to not to be like too like, oh, it's absolutely perfect. You know, Olympic sport is just one of those things where sadly the money that is in Olympic sport isn't like football or rugby or cricket. It is government funded, and I think UK sport does very well in making sure the money gets to the right places. But it's just one of those things where I wish everyone at a certain level in swimming, in my sport anyway, could access this. But that's just the case of how elite sport goes. But I've been very fortunate to say that it's worked very well for me and working very well for the like all of the swimmers who are involved within it.
Yeah, because I think a recent survey has said of athletes that the British Elite Athletes Association has taken that only 40% agreed that they would feel prepared to step down and 45% would know who to turn to. So I think your message is clear. Here are the people you need to go and talk to.
Yes, please. If you're part of this elite athlete group that I'm talking about, and again, this is a really specific niche thing, but there are people you can speak to, I promise. I mean, I started off with my physiotherapist, speaking to her firstly, because I indicated that I was unhappy one time and she pulled me aside and was like, are you okay? And I was like, I don't think I'm okay. And this is how this conversation started. So I promise you, especially within like the national centres and governing bodies, there are people who are looking out for you and want to see you succeed beyond your sport. You know, I think it's telling for a sport and for an NGB that, yeah, it's amazing getting Olympic medals. Obviously, that is the aim of the NGBs. But who do these athletes become afterwards? What do they go on to do? Are you going on to be a coach and helping other people win? Or are you sat in one of the big four and like absolutely killing it on the corporate front or something? They want to see everyone succeed beyond that. And I think if you feel like there isn't any help for you, please like reach out and talk to someone and ask. That's what the BEAA is there for.
And we have the performance lifestyle team at the UK Sport Institute. How are they preparing you for life after your swimming career? Because you mentioned coaching was an option. You could go and sit on the sofa and be a pundit. I'm sure that many television and radio companies would love to have the thoughts of Alice Deering on the Olympics this summer on television or radio. But in terms of preparing you for other options, what is available there?
So their CV workshops was quite a big thing, actually, because I think as an athlete, it's definitely one of those things that I was like, I don't need a CV. Like, I got into university, I've been swimming, I've been moving through everything. You know, everything's kind of handed to you as an athlete. And I mean that in a good way. I'm not saying that we're spoiled. We're obviously spoiled to a certain extent, but we're very well looked after. And then, yeah, you're like all of a sudden it's like, bam, okay. You haven't got your coach telling you what to do every day anymore. You haven't got this, you haven't got that. So I think lifestyle mentors, you are able to speak to these people for quite a long time after your funding has ended. And I please like implore people, like reach out and get that help, because I'm already 4 or 5 months out of my swimming career, finished with competitive swimming, and it's gone very quickly. And I've been very fortunate to be able to set up my foundations with, you know, my agent, with UK Sport and everyone who has helped me get there. But I'm aware there are a lot of people who haven't had these opportunities. So yeah, reach out to people, start looking at your CV if you want to go into something that way. Obviously, you've still got the Olympics to think about, so, you know, it's not your priority right now. But start having those conversations, look into the workshops which the BEAA are offering. And also, just quickly, there is an app which the BEAA have set up a like kind of a community social media space which athletes from, I can't remember it goes back to like 1950 or something, like from the like 1950 something Olympics all the way up to Paris and then beyond, where we can all connect with each other. And you'd honestly be so surprised at how much who you know matters in life. Again, I'm speaking to athletes with this logic. I'm sure a lot of people are aware of this as it is. But just being like the connections through your sport to other sports, to people who are established in an industry that would love to have your work ethic and your ideals in their company as well. So don't be afraid to use those connections where possible.
Final question then from me, Alice. When you talk about building networks, you talk about CV workshops, there are huge transferable skills from someone in your position who was an elite sports person into going into industry, into business, into any other high performing organization that's maybe not necessarily sport.
Yeah, I mean, like a high percentage of CEOs are former athletes or former elite athletes to at least like a regional or national standard. And the skills that you foster and implement over years of hard work and dedication are massively applicable into working life, whatever that working life may be. To know that someone has been able to dedicate themselves to a craft for this long and to hone and refine their skills are things which employers are really interested in. I have many conversations, and when I've told people recently that I've been stepping away from swimming, you kind of see the like, oh, what are you looking at next? And I explain like, oh, I want to do a bit of this, a bit of that. I want to still keep doing what I've been doing basically, but without the competitive swimming aspect, and lean more into, you know, hopefully some broadcast journalism, hopefully setting up something which can get more and more people into swimming, continuing my work with the BSA. And they're like, oh, okay, well, if you ever need anything, if you ever want to have a conversation around working with us, let us know. And I'm basically saying the amount of job offers that I've had just because I've been like, oh, I'm an Olympian, or oh, I've swam for Britain and I've done this and I've done that, it's absolutely astounding. And again, it's a very, very niche, but those of us that are privileged enough to call ourselves Olympians, it really does mean something. And it's actually something that I've kind of only just been learning over the last year or so, that it really does have weight. And I know it sounds very spoiled, very short-minded and very arrogant, and I'm not saying it doesn't matter, but I think as an elite athlete, when you're in this mindset, it's like, yes, I've qualified for the Olympics, but where did I come? Did I medal? Oh, that person did better than me, so that like they're better than me because they, et cetera, et cetera. We really get into this mindset of kind of putting ourselves down, and you do need that as an athlete. It's very natural. You want to be better and you want to be the best, but reflection and understanding of how far you've came and what you've achieved is also so important. So never belittle yourself or put yourself down, because competing for your country is a very, very cool thing to be able to claim.
Well, Alice, as I said earlier, you've achieved so much in your career already. It sounds like there's going to be so much more to come. Michael and I better watch out on the broadcast journalist front. But we wish you a huge amount of success. And please stay in touch with anything but footy. And thank you for talking to us.
Will do. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
Sports Social Podcast Network.